multiple languages, so full of the prophecy I brought earlier today in Pentagram. There's so much in these scriptures, but all throughout the Word, we could bring in scriptures that harmonize with this. In Isaiah, prophecy, and most of prophecy has not even been fulfilled. So when we talk about prophecy, we're talking about the from now till the end of the end of time, and that's quite a while yet, you know. So approaching quite a bit. Isaiah 17, and we'll read the 12 through the 14 verses. I'm going to read it out of this other translation. I like it real well. Woe to the roaring of nations, a man, like the roaring of seas is their roaring. Woe to the surging of people that surge like the surging of oceans, vast waters. The people may surge as the surging of seas. He rebukes, and lo, they are far off, are chased by the gale as the chaff of the hills, like the whirling of dust for the whirlwind. As evening shades fall, lo, the terror is great, but when the morning dawns, lo, they are not. Of them that would spoil us, this is the doom, the fate of all who would rob us. Isn't that beautiful language? This is the language of judgment, but the language is so beautiful. And now the Holy Spirit gave this to Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet, he was a priest. I had a list of things at home of which the Lord made him, and he was a precious man, and like him that we're going to meet him one of these days. The word woe here in this portion, as well as in chapter 55, it's from the original. It means awe-expressing grief. It's awe, A-H, and it expresses grief. And what the Lord's doing here in these verses is giving Israel a picture of the onward sweep of a victorious army. The nations are roaring and rushing, surging like mighty waters against the Lord and against his anointed. In Psalm 2, we read that in the first verse or two. They roar and they do it against the Lord and against his anointed. And over in Luke 21:25, this is one of the most important verses, I believe, in biblical prophecy. Luke 21:25, we've read it before, I know that. But, well, we've read the 24th, but it's after the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. That's when then Jesus will be put upon, will be on his throne. He will be sat there, and the full overcomers will be there with him, as Revelation 4 tells us. And then in the 25th verse of Luke 21, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and on upon the earth, distress of nations. This means inward pressure of nations with perplexity. There's going to be no way out. The sea and the waves are roaring. This is all coming in the after Christ is on his throne. And we see it in a measure now, the nations that are roaring. And watching, especially BBC News, we like to watch it to get the national news all over, worldwide news. And every nation, there's a turmoil. Watch in the African nations, over in Kosovo, and even in Russia, and every place, there's a roaring, and that's what he's talking about here. In Matthew 24, too, let's read this one. I love prophecy, and it encourages my heart, because we know that the Lord's coming is right at hand, and I thank the Lord. Matthew 24:6. Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives, and he's talking to his disciples. He talked to them privately. They ask him in the 6th verse, tell us when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age, or the consummation of the age? And Jesus, now they were in this age that we're in now when he said this. And Jesus asked him and said unto them, well, it was still on the day of Pentecost, I should say. For many as shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, for the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, and have you ever seen the like of it in the world? And pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows or travail. And we're living in that time now. This is the beginning of sorrows that we're in today. Between verses 8 and 9 is this church age. So we're in a transition period now. And what we see coming to pass now is the beginning of these sorrows or this travail. When the Lord's going to make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Won't that be wonderful? Praise the Lord. All right, when these nations come like this, like the rushing of mighty waters, the nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters in verse 13. But God shall rebuke them. But I like this. God shall rebuke them. And then they will flee from fire and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing or the whirling dust before the whirlwind. Like chase like the chaff and like the whirling dust. Let's go over to Zechariah 9:14. As I said, there's so many prophecies that we could read with this, and I love the description. Each one tells it in a little different way. Zechariah 9:14. And the Lord shall be seen over them. That is these armies that are coming down on Jerusalem. And shall be seen over them. And his arrow shall go forth as a lightning. And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts shall defend them. They shall devour and subdue with sling stones. I didn't get into that, but that was good. Then let's go to Joel, the little book of Joel, the third chapter. When we think of individuals that lived in Isaiah, especially that was studying now, I think of him when the Holy Spirit gave him these visions and these words to write down. And like we read in Peter, they desired to look into those things of which they were writing about. And the Holy Spirit didn't reveal them to their hearts because they weren't living in this age that we're living in. They understood what the Lord was going to do to Israel, but they didn't understand what the Lord was going to do in this church age. They didn't know anything about this church age. All right, in Joel 3 and verses 11 and 12, well, let's start with the ninth verse. Proclaim ye this among Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. And you know that's what they're doing now. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. And that chapter, we could go on with that, but that's all we want to read about that tonight. In this 14th verse Isaiah 17, behold, at eventide trouble, and before the morning he is not, or he's destroyed. We want to remember this is about the burden of Damascus in this chapter, and it's typical of all the national powers who seek to destroy Israel. And we have a marvelous example of this in the book of Esther. I'm not going to turn there, but I'll just give you the scriptures because we want to get into this next chapter. But in the third chapter of Esther, we read of a man named Haman. And if I remember right, he was an Agite who Saul didn't destroy. Remember, the Lord told Saul to go destroy Agag and all of them. Well, he saved Agag, the king, because he thought he was the king, so he saved him. But those are all wonderful things, typical for us. That a lot of times we think the best of us can be saved. It's a lot of lessons that the Lord put to death the best of us. All of the old man. We can't save any of it. The flesh. Well, anyway, Saul didn't destroy Agag, and here comes Haman on the scene. And this man was trying to destroy Mordecai in the book of Esther, and all the Jews. And he devised a plan to get Mordecai hung. So he had Ahasuerus, who was the king. He got him on his side, and he had these gallows built. Well, in the end, Haman himself was hung on his own gallows. He's a type of the Antichrist. But he wanted all the Jews destroyed. We got a paper this week, or in fact, we've gotten a couple of papers, Jewish papers. And in one of these, it told about some Jewish people who left during World War II. Who left was it Romanian Jews. I was going to bring it. And they got on a cattle barge, or a freight cattle barge, and it was equipped for only 107 people. And on this barge, there were 700 and some people who got on this barge to come to Israel. You can remember it probably better than I can, Dan. But they got as far as, what country was, this is how the world has treated the Jews all these years. And it's going to be worse, but that was just a little thing. It was a little, but this is what they've had against all these years. The Jews have been a thorn in the side of the nations, and this is what the Lord told them they would be if they disobeyed. And they did disobey, and they took the responsibility of hanging Jesus on the cross. They said, let his blood be upon us and our children, and it has been upon them, and it will be until they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. All right, let's get into chapter 18. Of Isaiah tonight. We need to pray for this nation Israel. They're dear to the heart of God. And when we studied Hosea, I was so impressed with that, how in that book the Lord cries out, how can I do this to you than to my nation? You know, he doesn't want this nation to suffer. And that just really spoke to me. God has He loves this nation, Israel, and he doesn't want them to go through what they're going to have to go through. He says, how can I do this unto you? But they're going to have to go through it. All right, this 18th chapter corresponds with the book of Job. And we can divide the chapter, it's only seven verses, but we divide it. Verses 1 to 3 is the divine call to the whole world. The divine call to the whole world. Verses 4 to 6 is man's political plan and its failure. Man's political plan and its failure. This is what they're trying to do today. Devise a plan, and they think they're going to get it all worked out, but it's going to fail. And verse 7 is the final and divine recovery of Israel, and that's the most precious of all. So let's just read through this. We'll read the first three verses, and I'll read it out of this translation that we have. This word woe should be ho, H-O. Some translations say it's all, like we had in the 17th chapter there, but ho is the better rendering. Ho! Exclamation mark. Land shadowing with wings beyond the rivers of Cush, which is Ethiopia in the King James Version. Ambassadors sending by sea in vessels water absorbing, saying, swift messengers go to a nation scattered and ravaged, to a people terrible ever from their beginning and onward. a nation forever under the line and so forever downtrodden, whose land the rivers have spoiled. All ye inhabitants of the whole world, all ye dwellers on the whole earth, now that includes every nation, when a banner is raised on the mountaintop, look, when a blast is blown on the trumpet, hark. I like that, don't you? Hark. Amen. Well, this word ho is a call that demands prompt attention to hear the word of the Lord. And that's what the Lord wants man to do today, is to listen to the word of God. Listen to it with an ear, in Revelation 2 and 3. Him that hath an ear, a spiritual ear. It's not talking about the natural ear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is what he's doing today. Jesus is talking there. And he wants us to listen to the Holy Spirit. Individual, he that hath an ear. Many times, the one that we want to go with us won't go with us. We just have to go on. So we do it. If this word ho is also in chapter 55:1. I like this very much. This verse. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, ye that hath no money. Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come. Invitation, isn't it? Buy wine and milk without money and without price. What he has given us is without money and without price. That's a wonderful verse. But that's the same word there that is used. And this is a call here in Isaiah 18:1 that cannot be ignored. These nations are going to come. And it's to the nations beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. The rivers that he's speaking of here are the Euphrates. And I think most of us are familiar where the Euphrates is. It's on the map, I don't know how to find it, but it's right in this area, right from this area. That's the Euphrates. Okay, this is the Nile. And I got a picture out of the World Book of the Nile. And the Nile is the longest river in the world. And you'd be surprised how long it is. It's 4,160 miles through northeastern Africa. And there it is, clear down. You can see Egypt on this map. Egypt, and it goes all the way down there. That's the Nile River. And on this little thing I copied out of the World Book, he says, if the Nile flowed across the United States, it would extend from the California-Oregon border near the Pacific Ocean to the West Virginia border, about 250 miles from the Atlantic Ocean. And there's a little map that tells how far across the United States it would flow. So see how long it is? But this is the land that the Lord, these rivers are the boundaries of the land. The next one over. These rivers are the boundaries of the land that the Lord gave to the nation Israel in Genesis 15:18. So all of this land from the river Euphrates up here, all this belongs to the people of Israel through Isaac, not through Ishmael. The Ishmaelites are wanting it, and they are letting us know more and more the main thing they want is Jerusalem. They've said this over and over the last few days. So all the land outside of the country of Israel or Palestine, as it's been called, all the nations are being called here to come. They're Gentile nations, and they are called here in this verse. You come to shouting with wings, which is beyond, or you come, you that sendeth ambassadors by the sea, even in vessels of bulrushes. And it's that up in the first verse, that term shadowing with wings is interesting. In the margin, it is of the whirring, And it speaks of the great armies that are on the move. And they tell us today how many people of this country, how many men are over there already. There are thousands of them already over there in that area. So they're on the move. The Lord is putting them in place today. We are very close, dear ones, to the coming of the Lord. That's all I can say. We're just very close. This bull rushes in the second verse, I send with ambassadors by the sea, even a vessel of bull rushes. This is really interesting. This bull rushes is from the root word meaning to absorb, to swallow or drink. And literally, it's in vessels that drink up water. Now back then, it was bull rush. But the Lord here was looking to the future, to the last days. The word vessels is the same word used of the vessels in the tabernacle, which were carefully prepared for a specific purpose. So these vessels that we read of here in Isaiah are vessels that are constructed carefully and are propelled by drinking up water. Now, what do steamships do today? Don't they drink up water? God knew what man was going to invent. And they've invented the steamship. He knew they would invent this modern steamboat or steamship, which was propelled by drinking up water. Isn't that interesting? And you know, I even thought about the submarine. And if it could be, we don't know. But anyway, that's the main thought on it. All right, he says, You nations that send these ambassadors. Then he says, go ye swift messengers to a nation scattered and healed. Now, who in the world is this? It's Israel.
That's right.
They're scattered and healed. Another translation of that is to a nation suffering violence and torn to pieces. And that's what they are. They're suffering violence today, and they're torn to pieces. Let's go to Amos, the third chapter. God's preparing all these nations together around Jerusalem. Amos 3, 1 and 2. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. And this is what he is going to do here by having these nations come to the land of Israel, to a nation that is scattered and peeled, to a people terrible from their beginning hitherto, and I like that, and a nation meted out and trodden down whose land the rivers have spoiled. Now this term meted out, in the original, from Strong's, meted means a cord or a line. That's the original meaning, a cord or a line. It's a nation under the line, under the line. Now, what does this word mean here? Israel was under the measuring line of Jehovah. When they disobeyed the Lord, what did he do? He chased them, didn't chase them. What does the Lord do with us when we get away from the line of the Word of God? See, the same thing. This is our standard. That's the line. I thought that was precious. Then there's some scriptures on that which we didn't write down and bring along, but this, all of this is so rich. And then he says here, whose land the rivers have spoiled. In the 8th chapter and the 7th verse, we found out there that the river there is the king of Assyria, who there is a type of the Antichrist. So these nations on the east and on the west have used the land of Israel for a battleground for centuries. They have spoiled, as we read there, they have spoiled this land, and they truly have. You can read the history of Israel from the time that Nebuchadnezzar came in 606 B.C., and they carried away this people captive to the land of Babylon. And from that time on, this land has been, and even before that, this land, they've had to go through it. They spoiled the land. But now today, Israel is back in the land, but they're not trusting the Lord, are they? They're not trusting Him for their protection, but they're still looking to the rivers. They're looking to these political powers, the nations, that they're going to be under for their protection. It's going to be a false protection. They're going to be under the what they think will be the protection of the Antichrist, but they will not be. It'll be a false one, and we'll get to that as we go on down here. Then in the third verse, he talks to all the inhabitants of the world, the entire world, and the dwellers on earth. See ye, when he lifted up an ensign on the mountains, and when he blows a trumpet, hear ye. This word banner means to gleam from afar, to be conspicuous as a signal. Israel is in their land again, and that's the signal that God's prophetic time clock has started up again. When they returned in April of 1947, God's time clock for them began again. They're in their land, and He's working now in their behalf. So His time clock, this is the signal that the world should know. That's what Rob asked us today. What about Israel? He was interested in this. And then he talks about the blowing of a trumpet. This is good. This trumpet here is a trumpet that's blown for war. Remember, these nations are coming against them. Let's go over the Numbers, the 10th chapter. Remember, they're back, at this time, they're back in Jewish times. They're not in Gentile times anymore. When Jesus Christ takes His throne in the heavens, Jewish times begin. Gentile times, which we're living in now, end when He takes His throne. Back here in Numbers, it's Jewish times. Let's go over to Numbers 10. This chapter is all about the trumpets, and there's quite a few trumpets for different occasions when Israel were in their camp around the tabernacle. When they left Egypt, God had Moses put them in an order, and He told them exactly what to do, what trumpets were to be blown, for what purpose. And in this 10th chapter, in the 7th verse, we read that when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets. When we studied this, notice who blows the trumpet. It's the priest. What has God called the overcomers to be? A kingdom of priests, kings and priests unto God. We're the ones that blow the trumpet. That's what we're doing tonight. And they shall be for you for an ordinance forever throughout your generation. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then ye shall blow an alarm with a trumpet. This word alarm means to mar, M-A-R, or to split the ear with a sound, or to shout. Now that's what this trumpet is going to do to the nation. They shall blow an alarm with a trumpet, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Now this is what they're going to do again. Jewish times will have come by then, and they will blow this alarm, and the Lord will remember them, and He will come to their help. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Hear ye. I think this is wonderful. You know, we see all this just coming so fast. Over in the 27th chapter of Isaiah, in the 13th verse, this is about another trumpet, but I wanted to read it too. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown. Now this is the great trumpet for the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. This will harmonize with some of the verses that we have yet in this 18th chapter, but that's a precious verse on one of the trumpets. God is going to remember them when all these armies come against the land of Israel. And he'll come to their help. And this is when Daniel 9:27 will have been fulfilled at the end of this time. And of course, the full overcomers will not be on earth when the treaty is made that Daniel 9:27 talks about. We won't be here. Revelation 6 tells us that one of the living creatures is going to call for this one to come forth, and he will come with a bow in peace. And that's when they will make a peace treaty with the people of Israel. That's at the beginning of the 7 years. Oh, prophecy, there's so much to it. All right, any questions or comments before we move on? We could stay in prophecy. I'd love it. I would love to go over some of these prophetic books again after we finish Isaiah. If the Lord cares. Hope he does. All right, this first verse now through the 6th in the 18th chapter of Revelation of Isaiah. Let's take this. I'll read it out of the other translation. For thus hath Jehovah spoken to me, I will retire to my dwelling and rest. Now the Lord's talking here. But he will retire to my dwelling and rest, there just to be still, but closely observant. As the clear heat of the sunshine, as the cloud of the dew in the harvest. For ere the harvest when finished, the blooming, the blossom becoming a ripening grape, then shall the branches be cut off and pruned, then shall the tendrils be taken away, forsaken to carrion birds of the mountains, left to be trodden by beasts of the field. The carrion birds shall summer upon them, and the beasts of the field shall tread them all down. What a portion. This first verse speaks of Jehovah's attitude at this time. His will hasn't been sought by the nation Israel. They aren't looking to him for what he wants them to do. It will be brought about by the politics of the nations. As we know today, they're gathering together in their meetings, call these emergency meetings to try to figure this thing out, try to bring peace. So the Lord just retires. He's in the background, and he takes a rest, and he leaves them to their own devices. And that's what he's going to do during the 7 years. Look what Isaiah 63:15 and read. This is so precious. We sometimes forget, I think, I trust we don't, but that we have one in the heavens who's alive. He's just sitting up there at his Father's right hand, waiting for us. And he's looking down, 63:15 of Isaiah. Look down from heaven and behold, from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Our inward being, is there a zeal and a strength that we call out to him for help? Is it there? Do we know he's there? Do we know that he's there to help us? In whatever trial we're going through, he's there. Not wonderful. Praise the Lord. He just wants to help us. He just wants us to call upon him. That's all he wants. He wants us to forget that we don't belong here. He wants us to forget that he wants us to remember, that we don't belong here. He wants us to remember that we have a seat in the heavenly, that we're seated there. He wants us to remember that everything down here is going to vanish. It's going to be destroyed. Whatever we work on down here is not going to last. Just remember this, whatever it is. Quite a lesson to learn. And then he says in this fourth verse, he says, and I will consider in my dwelling place like clear heat upon herbs, just as the clear warm drop, or clear warm day, excuse me, and the dewy night ripen the grapes and the corn, so do their plans seem to go well for a time. They seem to be prospering. Israel will begin to offer up their sacrifices again. They'll begin to worship. The false ones will worship as well. The false who are who pretend, as we read in throughout the Word, they will yield feigned obedience to the Lord. Even during the 7 years, they're going to do this. Pretense. The Lord knows it, but He's going to allow it for a while. So they will be doing this, and it will look like they're doing very well under the Antichrist. But in the first fifth verse, then, it is as when it appears that Israel's glory is going to be restored, then suddenly there's going to be destruction. Notice. For the harvest when the bud is perfect, and so our grape is ripening in the flower, he, that is Christ, shall both cut off the sprigs, to speak of the armies around Jerusalem, with pruning hooks, and take away and cut down the branches. Both of these speak of the armies that will be gathered around Jerusalem. This is when that peace treaty that the Antichrist made with the nation Israel will be broken. In Daniel 9:27, in the middle of the week, he will take away the burnt offering before that, before the 7 years, 30 days before the 7 years begins, he'll take away the daily sacrifice. We read that in the book of Daniel. Then in the middle of the week, he'll take away that burnt offering. And that's the one that they're going to, that's when he's going to do his worst. He says here, he will take away and cut down the branches. Oh, this term of for the harvest. It speaks of the enemy's plans are on the verge. This speaks of the enemy's plans are on the verge of completion. God will intervene, and aren't we thankful for that? He's not going to let this nation be destroyed by the Antichrist, and that's what they're trying to do today. They're making it very plain today that this is what they want. They want Jerusalem. And why do they want it? Because it belongs to the Lord, and because one of these days Jesus Christ is going to have his seat there in Jerusalem. Their enemies, see. All right. Then these armies, when the Lord comes down, they're going to be left together unto the fowls of the mountains and so forth there. They're going to feast upon these. Now let's go to Ezekiel and read what Ezekiel says about this time. There's so much in the Word about this. Ezekiel 39, and start with the 17th verse. We hear so much preparation now for war. Ezekiel 39:17. And thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl and to every beast of the field, and they do obey. You know, we think of the animals and the creatures of the earth. They know what to do. They listen to their Creator. For man rebels. Assemble yourselves and come, gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice. This is God's sacrifice of these nations, these armies. That I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that ye may eat flesh and drink blood. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, these are speaking of leaders, and of goats, of bullocks, all of them fatlings of Bashan. And ye shall eat fat till ye be full, and drink blood till ye be drunken of my sacrifice, which I have sacrificed for you. Thus ye shall be filled at my table, notice the mice, with horses and chariots, with mighty men, and with all men of war, saith the Lord God. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, that my hand that I have laid upon them. Look at the mice. I've got them circled. I didn't count them, but there are a lot of them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward. Won't that be wonderful? We read so much in the Kings about the different battles they had, and that when Sennacherib was coming against Jerusalem, how the Lord just miraculously slew, I think it was 185,000 men of his army when they were trying to defeat the nation Israel. Then let's go to Revelation 19, because this is also about this time that all this is going to happen. Revelation 19. verse 17. This is at the end of the 7 years. He's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron during 1,000 years, and they're not going to like it. All the kings that still want to rule, and the presidents and so forth. So he has to rule with a rod of iron. And then at the last, the 16th verse, well, let's read the 15th. Well, let's start with the 14th. And the armies which were in heaven followed him. This is all his people, the church, everyone that will be up there with him will follow him upon white horses in power, as you saw here, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. It's just the word that will come forth from his mouth. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, thank the Lord. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and flesh of captains, and flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, that is the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Think of this. At the end of the 7 years, they think they can defeat the Lord. Well, look what's going to happen. The 20th verse, the Antichrist was taken, and with him the false prophet that brought miracles before him, in which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Quite a time it's going to be, but we're going to be up there with the Lord. But this nation is going to go through an awful lot, and the remnant is going to go through an awful lot too. All right, let's look at this last verse in Isaiah 7, 18. It's the 7th verse. I'll read it out of the other translation. Then to Jehovah to say they all shall there be brought as a present. My, this is so precious. A people scattered and ravaged, terrible ever and always. A nation forever under the line, and so forever downtrodden. Whose land the rivers have swelled, to the place of the name of Jehovah of hosts, the mountain of Zion. Isn't that wonderful? I like that. They shall be brought as a present. And who's going to bring them? It's going to be these sheep nations. Let's go over to Matthew 25. Remember when the Lord judges between the nations, separates the sheep nations from the goat nations? This is when this is going to happen. This in Matthew 24 and 25 is all about this 7 years. Not about us today. I mean, we get admonition from it, but it's speaking of prophetic truth. Matthew 25 and the 32nd verse, let's read the 31, 25, 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels, it should be sanctified holy persons, with him, that's what this, all the saints, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goat. Shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left, and we won't read all of that. But these are going to be the sheep nations, because the goat nations are going to be destroyed. This is replenished. But the sheep nations are going to be preserved by the Lord because of their attitude to him. So it's going to be these nations that will bring the remnant of Israel, this little remnant, to the Lord, or to Israel as a present. They're going to help to assemble the people of Israel from all over the world. They will be accepted by God as a holy offering unto the Lord. This little remnant. Let's go to the 60th chapter of Isaiah. There's so much in all of this about this, but Isaiah 60, we'll read it and later we'll get to it in more detail. See, these people of Israel are all over the world, and they're going to be gathered together. Isaiah 60, the fourth verse, and then the ninth verse. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. And the ninth verse. Surely the isles, or the coastlands, shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. See, he's going to glorify this nation, this remnant. They're going to have turned to him, and they're going to be brought to him by these people. Then let's go to the 66th chapter of Isaiah 2, this speaks to them, and of the nations. There's going to be individuals out of all nations of the world that are going to turn to the Lord. The nation as a whole will not, but there's just like in the bridal company, there's going to be people from every nation, tongue, and every tongue, nation, and people, I believe it is. They're going to be in that bridal company. Little countries that we think, well, did they hear of the bridal truth? Yes. The Holy Spirit ministers all over the world. He's not limited to boundaries. He can reach people that, you know, we think, well, we're the only ones that ever heard. No, we're not. Thank the Lord. Isaiah 66, verse 19 and 20. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, to Pearl, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. This is the remnant. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering. They will do this. Bring the Israelites as an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts. That swift beast, I had a thought of on that, but I don't know if I wrote it down or not. Anyway, swift beasts. To my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. See, they're going to be a clean vessel then. They will be a new creation, and they'll be brought by these people to the land of Israel. They'll see that they get there. Won't that be wonderful? The Gentiles will serve the Lord, and we're going to get into some wonderful things on that. This wonderful thing that's going to happen here was given to, the truth of it was given to Isaiah in the sixth chapter of Isaiah. If you'll remember there, when Isaiah hears a type of the remnant in the sixth chapter of Isaiah, and if you'll recall there, in the second verse, the seraphim stood above the, Isaiah saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And then above it stood the seraphims, and these are the bridal saints representatives. And Isaiah is a type of the remnant. Because there'll be a people. They will be cleansed by this bridal company. The bridal company will have a part in the cleansing of the remnant of Israel. Notice here in the sixth verse. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin heard. So this bridal company is going to come down with Jesus Christ and have a part in the cleansing of this remnant. That could be a wonderful thing, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. There's so much in this book. It's so rich, and the language is so beautiful. And I want to know, when I study it, I want to know what this means. So the Lord helps me, and I get into it, and I get out the meaning of all of this. And I thank the Lord. All right, are there any questions now? It'll be a wonderful day. We have to have spiritual ears to hear the trumpet, don't we? We're going to have to have our ears ear tuned to the Word of God to know when that trumpet sounds. The First Thessalonians 4. The trumpet shall sound for the overcomers. That's a different trumpet. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's that bridal company that's going to be caught away. First of all, praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Are we looking forward to this day? Aren't you glad we just study it and understand it? Praise the privilege to get into the Word and understand it. Be a part of the purposes of God and understand what He's talking about. It's a good praise. Lay aside, I was reading that too today in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Paul admonishing the Hebrew Christians, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The race is almost over, and we're going to go home. Praise the Lord.